top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the midday news for Tuesday, August 31st. In the headlines, wholesalers and retailers for LPG gas and diesel say they cannot survive on the distribution margin that has been established and instituted by the government of Dominica. Since the coronavirus outbreak emerged in China in December 2019, it has killed a total of 4.5 million people, according to an AFP tally on Monday, as the virulent Delta variant wreaks havoc globally. And a survey reveals 62% of intensive care nurses in Lafourche Parish, Louisiana, are burned out. They are quitting high-stress ICU jobs due to the demands of the pandemic, and patients may be at risk. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. The details after this.
Dominica, we are all essential in the fight against COVID-19. At Courts, we're doing our part and encouraging you to stay at home and shop online at shopcourts.com/Dominica. For a limited time, get free delivery and save an additional 10% off on TVs, laptops, and more. Plus, shop with Ready Finance and pay $0 for 60 days. Now you can stay at home, shop online, and save. And remember, do the essential. Wear a mask, wash your hands, make space, and don't cause the spread. Courts, bringing value home.
Both the wholesalers and the retailers for LPG gas and diesel claim they are unable to survive on the distribution margin of 67 cents and the retail margin of 70 cents given by the government of Dominica. Opposition leader Lennox Linton says this is justified given that Dominica has the lowest volumes in the Eastern Caribbean, and these volumes have been significantly depressed further since COVID-19 with the loss of the tourism industry and the restrictions on movements due to COVID protocols. However, Linton says the cost for the industry players has not changed, with the cases even increasing in some cases.
The cost of power, for example, has drastically increased, and there is the pending increase in the minimum wages and security costs. Now, while it is great for petroleum industry employees to receive higher wages, the money for those wages is controlled by the government 100%. Retailers, for example, as explained in the price buildup, only make 70 cents per gallon of gas. These are the lowest margins in the OECS, with St. Vincent at 97 cents, St. Lucia at $1.10, and Antigua and Barbuda at $1.20 per gallon. These countries have greater volumes than Dominica. So not only do the stations in those countries operate on better returns, they also have higher volumes. Interestingly, consumers in those countries pay almost the same price at the pump as we do here in Dominica. The price per gallon of gas in Antigua and Barbuda, for example, is now $12.50 compared to $13 in Dominica.
Linton says the only party making money on fuel in Dominica is the government.
$3.25 for every gallon of gas sold at the pump at $13, and in respect of which the landed cost in Dominica is $11.36. Yet the Prime Minister is quite happy to regulate the private operators out of the market by refusing to allow them to make a fair return. He has also announced that if the fuel suppliers are not prepared to do as he dictates, then the Treasury will purchase fuel for distribution.
Linton says that the Prime Minister is about to nationalize the petroleum industry, stating that this must not be allowed.
His government will operate gas stations in the country now, and everybody in the petroleum products industry will work for him and live or die as he decides. The mere thought of that option as a solution cannot be entertained. The oil companies have made significant investments in the country. The retailers have made significant investments in the country and have operated and served the country's needs for decades. They take all the risks the government has none. They bear all the costs the government has none. So the solution is very simple. Fair and just margins from the petroleum price to the private operators in the petroleum products industry. Government now needs to reduce the tax burden on the petroleum industry, from $3.25 per gallon to $2.65 per gallon and split the yield of 60 cents evenly between the petroleum importers and retailers to move the distribution margin from 67 cents to 97 cents per gallon and the retail margin from 70 cents to $1 per gallon. Now, for a government that plans to increase its overall recurrent revenue by 29% this year, giving up 18% of its petroleum tax revenue derived from myopic regulatory practice to ensure that petroleum products importers and retailers are able to continue their tax-generating operations is a no-brainer. It should not be that these operators will be forced to close their operations under the pressure of mounting losses just so that some hero can emerge shortly thereafter, claiming credit for solving a problem by doing what can and should have been done a long time ago.
Opposition leader Lennox Linton, reliable sources have informed that some filling stations are planning to stage a strike sometime this week. United States Agency for International Development, USAID, Eastern and Southern Caribbean Mission, ESC, hosted an 8-session climate change symposium on the ecological and human dimensions of climate change. Speaking on the contextualizing of the Eastern and Southern Caribbean region's response, they sought solutions to address climate impacts. Speaking on behalf of the OECS Commission, Crispin Duverg highlighted the recently launched Eastern Caribbean Solar Challenge Initiative, which addresses both climate adaptation and mitigation and encourages regional stakeholders to increase access to solar-powered electricity and heating across the region by the end of 2023.
Addressing the climate crisis must be a collective effort. This includes working with regional entities, national government, and its citizens, the private sector, community-based organizations, and the donor community to reduce the onset and impact of climate change. The United States is committed to strengthening climate action through a renewal of our strong alliances in countries across the world. And already, we have seen the formation of storms over the past few weeks. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, is forecasting an active 2021 Atlantic hurricane season, predicting 13 to 20 named storms, including 3 to 5 major hurricanes. 6 of the top 10 countries most susceptible to natural disasters are in the Caribbean, and 2020 broke the record for the most named storms in Caribbean history at 30 storms, and they exhausted the entire alphabet. The COVID-19 pandemic has also highlighted some threats, like the virus or climate change, see no borders and can harm all of us. It is also a lesson in how quickly societies can adapt if needed. When we invest in climate work around the world, it is an opportunity for economic transformation and ultimately an investment in the U.S. and global security. USAID is well positioned to support the Biden-Harris administration's bold climate agenda and implementation of the Paris Agreement. USAID plays a key role by working with countries who are integral partners in this effort to implement climate solutions on the ground globally.
Meantime, Isaac Anthony discussed the CCRIF's work in disaster risk financing, the world's first multi-country risk pool based on parametric insurance that has already made 50 payouts totaling $200 million to member governments. He highlighted 5 insurance products offering coverage for tropical cyclones, excessive rainfall, earthquakes, as well as to the electric utilities sector and the fisheries sector.
SCRIF provides parametric insurance to Caribbean, and later we added Central American governments. And since 2020, that's last year, we were able to launch a product for electric utilities. Essentially, CRIF, formerly the Caribbean Catastrophe Risk Insurance Facility, operates as a development insurance company, as the services that we provide are really designed to enhance the overall development prospects of its members. The parametric insurance that we provide is really an insurance contract that makes payments based on the intensity of an event and the amount of loss calculated in a pre-agreed model causing by those events. So this really enables us to be able to know almost immediately what the model losses are. And if you know what the model losses are, then you ought to be able to determine whether or not a policy of a country is triggered. So in a sense, it really represents a cost-effective way to pre-finance short-term liquidity to begin the recovery process after a catastrophic event.
Still on the local scene, Dominica's Ministry of Health reveals that Dominica has now confirmed the presence of the Delta variant on its shores. This was revealed by the Minister of Health, Dr. Irvin McIntyre, at last evening's Health COVID-19 update. He said the new variant is a more aggressive form of the virus that attacks the lungs in a quicker time.
That we finally receive confirmation from CAFA that we do have the Delta variant in Dominica. All our samples sent to CAFA, which was subsequently sent to the University of the West Indies for sequencing, returned positive for the Delta variant. This particular variant really has no cough and fever, rather joint pain, headache, neck and upper back pain, general weakness, loss of appetite, and pneumonia. The Delta variant is also more virulent and takes less time to become extreme, leading to a higher death rate. This is because the Delta variant does not remain in the nasal cavity for a long period of time, but quickly settles down to the lungs, leading to pneumonia, and in some cases, eventually leading to death.
He encouraged persons to get vaccinated and stated that vaccines are available to be administered to 12-year-olds as well.
Having said this, it is of paramount importance that we all must participate in the vaccination relaunch and rollout of the Pfizer vaccine. This program will be headed by Dr. Kivian Burnett with assistance from EPI manager Nurse Flores in Lewis, with a team of dedicated logistical health educators and data entry clerk personnel. We have had numerous consultations with the Ministry of Education since Pfizer vaccine will be available to persons within the age group of 12 to 17 years as well. We are developing new strategies to get to the target population to include the corporate sector, public service, schools, and the wider community. We have on island enough vaccine doses to achieve herd immunity. Sinopharm, 13,943, AstraZeneca, 10,000, and soon to come, Pfizer, 46,800. Vaccination is not only a Ministry of Health or government activity. The government has made vaccines available at no cost to the people of this country. We have to be responsible for ourselves. We not only decrease transmission, but to protect the vulnerable and elderly at home. We have seen that the unvaccinated are most at risk of death, and we must take heed. Vaccination must also be seen as the action which you and I can take to ensure economic activity and protect our livelihoods. And though it is not mandatory, you have to be responsible and make yourselves available.
Health Minister Dr. Irvin McIntyre. Kezia Royer is the valedictorian of the 2021 graduating class of the SDA Academy. During a virtual graduation ceremony on Monday under the theme Rising Above Limitations, Embracing Success, 30 graduates were in the spotlight with featured speaker, former students Dr. Mary Phyllis Leslie, who told the students their greatest limitation other than themselves is those with whom they surround themselves.
Birds of a feather flock together. Or some of you have heard, you are the average of your peers. Frank A. Clark states, I quote, "We find comfort among those who agree with us and growth among those who don't." I urge you to choose friends who would uplift you, challenge you, and push you closer to your goals, and shun those who don't, period. It may be difficult, but it is necessary. Class, you have accomplished a lot. This graduation marks a huge milestone in your life. As you cherish this milestone, always be grateful to those who have helped you leap over the difficulties over these past few years at Arthur Waldron SDA Academy. The journey begins now. Embracing success is also embracing failure, because failure oftentimes is the first part of success. You can only go up after a valley.
Meantime, Principal Carlotta Challenger says the class gained an overall average of 90% at the CSEC exams, as she reveals the top performing students.
We secured 100% passes in 10 of the 17 subjects for which we registered candidates. I'm humbled to announce that Arthur Waldron SDA Academy top performers attained 14 subjects at the 2020 CSEC exams. Mr. Kenzo Roye gained 11 grade 1s, two grade twos and one grade three. Mr. Oren Dodds gained 10 grade ones and four grade twos. This is a significant performance for our institution, and we are very confident that when CXC finally releases the revised results for June 2020, we will be recognized as the institution with Dominica's first and second place top performers at CSEC 2020. We are happy with the performance of all of our students, but we are proud that our young men of the class of 2020 proved that boys can do exceptionally well. Jara Musgrave, Ludovic Robinson, Desna George, and Jayman Ali all gained between 6 to 9 grade ones and gained a place on the list of national top performers.
And that was the principal of the Arthur Waldron SDA Academy. Meanwhile, Endurance Christian is the valedictorian of the 2021 graduating class of the Wesley High School. 23 students said goodbye to the school during a virtual ceremony Monday under the theme Maximizing Opportunities Amidst Challenges. Christian says from post-Erica to post-Maria onto the current crisis, the period 2016 to 2021 has been one of the most challenging periods in the history of Dominica.
Some of us had to relocate to new homes or rebuild our broken homes. Now, all of us are wearing masks, physical distancing, sanitizing often, abiding to curfew restrictions, and now participating in this virtual graduation ceremony. Those of us who are living through it will forever keep these last few years etched on the pages of our minds. Fellow graduates, I want you to know that despite all these challenges faced throughout our time at the Wesley High School, the education we receive is invaluable. The friendships that we have made will last a lifetime. The obstacle we overcame has strengthened us. I must admit that we, the FIFM class, always chose to work together as a team. We did prevail. We did succeed. We overcame. We achieved.
Featured speaker and former Miss Dominica, attorney Nadira Lando, told the graduates, it's no secret that they are living in challenging times, and it may just be the beginning. However, she says, they leave the institution equipped with an education, armed with preparation for their onward journey.
But we also recognize that you are now entering uncertain times and heading to college or any other tertiary education institution, maybe even the workforce, with a myriad of challenges. But are you going to buckle under that pressure? No. Are you going to grapple or even sink? No. My dear graduating class, you have the unique opportunity to change the path from one of uncertainty to one paved with determination, innovation, and lots of success stories. Excuses will always be there for you. Opportunities won't. This pandemic exposed that need and in turn allowed young people to identify those opportunities and even identify and hone their skills and talents and maximize them for the economic and social benefits of our society. The world needs you, dear graduates. The world needs your drive. The world needs your novelty.
Natural health practitioner, certified cologne hydrotherapist in Dominica, and owner of Healthy Wellness Living Center, Tahira Blanchard, touts her company's wellness drinking water, which she says is alkaline-based and significantly increases immune system support as it contains other natural virus-fighting ingredients. Blanchard says this item can be drank as normal water, and ingesting it ensures that the body remains unsuitable for viruses to thrive. She spoke to Q95 News on Monday. This is Dominica has confirmed over 900 active COVID-19 cases and some 21 COVID-related deaths. And yesterday evening, the Ministry of Health announced the presence of the COVID-19 Delta variant in Dominica. Blanchard explains what causes all diseases to survive and thrive in the human body.
So one of the factors that would encourage any disease, including diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, the flu virus, or any other disease to survive in your body, is a body where your blood chemistry is very acidic. So what that water does, it actually helps to create an alkaline blood chemistry. Okay. Also another environment that makes it very, very easy for diseases to survive is a body where your oxygen content is very low. Hence the reason for the chlorophyll in the water, which actually helps with putting live oxygen within that water and to increase your oxygen content in the cells. We also have, anytime there is a body that is weak, with an immune system that is weak or compromised, it also makes it very easy for diseases and viruses to survive in the body. So you find that the water also stimulates the immune system. So you get the benefits of getting an alkaline pH, of increasing your oxygen content, and of stimulating and boosting your immune system. And all of these things are very, very critical at this point in fighting the COVID-19 virus that we are dealing with.
Natural health practitioner Tahira Blanchard. And DPSU President Steve Joseph reiterates the significance of the government ensuring that all public health officials are given proper incentives to include finance, state-sponsored transportation, work resources, and PPEs to execute the needed service of health care to Dominicans. This as Dominica records a total of 923 active cases and 21 related COVID deaths as of August 28th. The announcement was made by Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett on Sunday.
So what we were saying since last year is do not only look about the physical, you have to look about the personnel, the frontline people, our health professionals, to put certain systems in place. And it's not when the crisis hit that level that you are rushing now to put things in place, that you had considered those things. It's like disaster management. You can't wait until you have the crisis to have the plan. You have to have the plan and then you roll it out in terms of crisis management. And this is what we're calling for, that you, if they need transportation, if they need a shift system, if they need certain logistics, they need proper testing from time to time, their families, if their families need caretakers so they can work extra hours, you consider those things. So that the theme we used last year was the PSI mantra, which is safe workers save lives. If you've cared for the worker and they have peace of mind, and you have put things in place for them, then they can offer that professional service in peace.
In other news, the world has passed a grim threshold of 4.5 million COVID-19 deaths, according to an AFP tally on Monday, as the virulent Delta variant wreaks havoc globally. Since the outbreak emerged in China in December of 2019, the virus has killed a total of 4,500,620 people, the tally of official sources revealed. Some 10,000 deaths are reported every day in the world, a much lower figure than the highs of January, when an average of 14,800 people were being killed daily. But the figure is much higher than at the start of July, when some 7,800 daily deaths were registered. And several nurses in Lafourche Parish, Louisiana, are leaving the ICU due to the demands of COVID-19. A survey during the pandemic has revealed that 62% of intensive care nurses in that region are burned out. CBS senior medical correspondent Dr. Tara Narula explains why many hospitals are vulnerable to staff shortages in the midst of a pandemic and how patients may be at risk.
The nurses we spoke to said both the number of hours they work and the number of patients they're responsible for have them feeling depleted and under-resourced. For many, it's about preserving quality of life and maintaining a workplace environment where they can give patients the attention they need.
Sure.
Spending early mornings at home is a new part of Paulette Rangel's workday routine. For 7 years, she worked overnights as an ICU nurse at a level one trauma center in Phoenix. When COVID came calling last year, Rangel and her co-workers stepped up.
Some nurses were working 4, 5, 6 days a week, 12-hour shifts. You felt guilty for wanting to call off because you knew that you were going to leave your co-workers behind and they would have to pick up the slack.
Rangel says her training gave her the skills to respond to a pandemic, but did not prepare her for the emotional toll.
When you are working 12 hours straight in these high stress, high adrenaline situations, it takes a lot out of you. We wanted to be there for our patients, but you know, when we're running on fumes, it's hard to do that.
Back home after her shifts, Rangel's distress was obvious.
I would just come home and I would go straight to my room. The kids weren't allowed in there and I wasn't touching them. Talking to my husband, you know, I was just telling him, like, I really don't want to get you guys sick. So we have those.
After trying counseling and antidepressants, Rangel switched to a job in community health, seeing healthier patients during daytime hours.
The problems that we see in nursing now are not new. It's that high level that we had before COVID that's made it just really out of hand now.
Linda Aiken teaches and studies nursing at the University of Pennsylvania.
We have a robust supply of nurses. The problem is that we don't have enough funded, permanent, full-time positions for nurses in the settings where they're needed, namely hospitals, nursing homes, and schools.
There are no federal limits on patient-to-nurse ratios. California is the only state that has set minimum staffing standards. Aiken says the workload varies widely, with nurses in some hospitals caring for as many as 10 patients.
Nurses make the difference in whether patients live or not. Every patient added to a nurse's workload is associated with a 7% increase in the odds a patient will die just after common surgical procedures.
In the early months of the pandemic, Christopher Hayes hit the road as a travel nurse to help staffing shortages at hospitals overwhelmed with COVID patients.
What is it that really wore you down the most during the pandemic?
Getting used to the amount of people that were dying from COVID and then talking to their family members after they died.
As Hayes rotated through four hospitals in Texas and Oklahoma, he saw a pattern.
People just still honestly do not understand how severe this is, how bad staffing for nursing is. I have to take care of myself first before I can take care of someone else.
Hayes is now taking a break from nursing to recharge. Back home in Little Rock, Arkansas, he opened a CBD store, hoping to heal people in a different way. While they welcome acts of gratitude, nurses say what they really need from administrators are reinforcements.
When times are tough and things are getting rough, they'll have a pizza party. You know, you guys are spread really, really thin and we can't get new nurses, but here's pizza.
Would you ever consider going back to the hospital and taking that kind of a job after the pandemic is over?
I would definitely go back.
Aiken believes hiring more full-time nurses pays for itself through savings from fewer infections, shorter lengths of stay, fewer patients readmitted after discharge, and avoiding paying a premium for travel nurses at peak times. She told us healthcare is about people taking care of people. Nurses just want a sense of joy and accomplishment and to not worry that they couldn't give enough time to their patients.
And that's the midday news, but first a recap of our headlines. Wholesalers and retailers for LPG gas and diesel say they cannot survive on the distribution margin that has been established and instituted by the Dominica government. Since the coronavirus outbreak emerged in China in December 2019, it has killed a total of 4.5 million people. And a survey reveals 62% of intensive care nurses in Lafourche Parish, Louisiana, are burned out. They are quitting high-stress ICU jobs due to the demands of the pandemic, and patients may be at risk. The news is brought to you, compliments Quartz Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com.